Well, it's so good to hear you sing. Still the same joy, the same strength. Then that's how it should be. This morning, we don't have to rush for lunch. So we're going to take a little bit of time to study this particular psalm, and then slowly. So no Bible study, no prayer meeting, everything crammed into this message. Okay, well, let's try and learn as much as we possibly can. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful God that you are. And we pray that you will teach us how to place our trust under the shadow of your wings. And to know what it means for us to really practice the fear of the Lord. We pray for your grace, for your blessings. As we take up Psalm 34, and pray that you will open our understanding further. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's look at Psalm 34 very carefully. Some of the Psalms have what we call a historical background that will give us a little bit of a clue as to how to read this particular psalm. So you have, can you see this little up there, little statement? We'll give you an idea of the context in which this particular psalm was actually written in. Look at Psalm 34. And we read a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, and who drove him away and he departed. Now, if we were to read this and not check it out, we probably would not fully understand it. So what we're going to do before we even open up this psalm is to take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 21, right? And we will see the historical circumstances. In fact, most of the time, if you read even our local poems, you'll find that they actually are written in a certain definite historical context, right? So we talk about the fear of the Lord and the historical context about this virus, coronavirus problem. And poems come out of all these things here. So they are not uncommon things. So we have a historical situation. Okay, now let's take a look at 1 Samuel 21. What is this historical context? And this is... Don't let the first words of Psalm 34 fool you. I will bless the Lord at all times. It's as if he's always happy all the time. This is not what it is. Okay? So there was a time in David's life when the fear of man was very real. Well, let's take a look. 1 Samuel 21. Right? This is where, in verse 10, David arose and fled the day from before Saul. Right? So this was where he feared, and this is where the fear of man became very strong inside him. Why? Because though David was the son-in-law of King Saul, he was a threat. And Saul feared that he would become the next king rather than his own son. And he didn't want David to become the next king. Only his son. And he would do everything to kill David out of fear, not of God, but of men. He fled. Now, watch this very carefully. Okay, so he fled. He rose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now, if David had been in Jerusalem and he went to Gath, it would be about 40 kilometers away. That would be a pretty good safe distance from Saul attacking him. But if it's been even further up in Shechem, then the distance would be twice as long. So he really put the distance between him and King Saul. right? So this was again fear. Now we come across this man called Achish. And then in Psalm 34, we see Abimelech. How come it's different? Well, Achish is his personal name. And Abimelech is a very common title in those days. And Abimelech is like a king, it's a title, just like the word Pharaoh. Right? The Pharaoh is the king. So everyone is called a Pharaoh. Well, what is he? Well, he's called a Pharaoh. So in this case, in the Philistines, they call this person an Abimelech. Right? So the Abimelech is there that you want to appreciate then. He was there and we read. And in verse 19, he changed his behavior before them. Why? Because the Philistines recognized David. And they said to the king, did you know, is this not David, the king of the land? No, he was not king then. But everybody knew that he was ascending on the way to become king. So they called him king of the land already. Did they also not sing to one another in dances? Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. See, this is where pop song, is not going to do him any good. So David took these words in heart and was very much afraid. Again, this time the fear was King Achish or Abimelech. So now we are fighting fears. One hand, Saul, on the other hand, Achish. He's in the land of the Philistines. Now, if you would take a look at the map, you'll find that Ammon, Edom, Philistia, Saul surrounded him. Everywhere he went to, every direction, north, south, east, west, it would be fearful. So Psalm 34 was written in a situation where there was a lot of fears to be fought. And sometimes it is in the midst of fears that are fought successfully that the fear of the Lord is actually well learned. Right? So this is the situation. So he pretended madness, which was his own idea. Okay, how do I get out of the situation? Right? You cannot call in reinforcement. He is well known. He could not pretend that he was not David. Right? So what do you do? And he thought maybe the best thing to do is to pretend you're mad. So he allowed his saliva to dribble. Believe me, it's not an easy thing to do. This is a lot of work put in. Right? I mean, you just try the dribble, it's very hard. And then if you got a beard, dribble on the beard, it's terrible. Right? Well, that's what we're looking at. And then he'll pretend madness, he will be slobbering, and he will be climbing gates and walls and stuff like that. Everybody thought, this fellow is really mad. That was his way of trying to get out of a difficult situation. But watch, there was no fear of God, only the fear of man. Right? So let's go back to Psalm 34 now. And let's look at what he did. Now, Psalm 34 is what we call an acrostic psalm, meaning to say that it is not written chronologically. It's written cleverly. So verse 1 would be Aleph, so verse 2, Beth, you know, Dalet, Hey, Gimel, all the Hebrew letters would be there. 22 letters. And everyone begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So this is written acrostically. And it's a beautiful way, it's a clever way of doing it. So please do not think that while he was doing, he was fearful, David was writing all the, no, he wasn't. It wasn't till later on. So as he looked back later on, He said, I will bless the Lord at all times because the Lord rescued him from all those problems. From King Saul, from the Philistines, the Edomites were down south, the Ammonites were there. I mean, he was surrounded by enemies all over the place. So the Lord helped him to escape through all those things. It is in this light that Psalm 34 was written. And so we need to understand what are some of those things that we need to understand. Okay, look at verse 4. I sought the Lord, he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. Now that is important, right? The fear of the Lord, if it is truly there, you will find that the fear of everything else is not. But when he was fearful of Saul, fearful of Achish, fearful of enemies all around, the fear of the Lord is naturally not there truly. That is, it's not easy to do this. How do you actually have a fear of the Lord as a single focus? And that is not an easy thing to do. So you have to deal with all the fears. And sometimes the Lord allows all these fears to come. Otherwise, you really cannot practice this idea of fear. And it is of the Lord. It is something that we need to learn. Many years ago, I read a story of an Indian archer. And he's a very skilled archer. So he was in the school of archery, and the master said, okay, I place a wooden bird on a tree way up there, and the distance is 100 yards away. That's a long distance to pull the arrow. And so first person came for the test, and he said, can you feel the wind? So you're supposed to look at the wind factor. And the person said, yes. The teacher said, fail. But I haven't shot. Fail. Okay, second one came up to the test and it said, do you see the tree where the bird is on? And the man said, yes. Don't take, fail. The third one came up and said, and the teacher said, do you see the leaves all surrounding that bird there? Yes, lots of leaves. Fail. So this fellow came up, and the teacher asked him, do you feel the wind? No. Do you see the tree? No. Do you see the leaves? No. What do you see? Only the bird. Nothing else. Shoot. And he shot. And it accurately, he hit the eye of the bird. That is what it means to fear. So if we are battling fear of Saul, fear of Achish, fear of loss of life, fear of everything, do you really have the fear of the Lord yet? The answer is no. Now, that is what we mean by and deliver me from all my fears. See, this is important. Because if we don't have the Lord delivering us from all our fears, we'll never get things done. I mean, you know, the fears can be so bad. Oh, wait, I had to stop myself too. Get into the lift. There were three people speaking in Mandarin, and one of them coughing straight away. China, you cannot do that. You must not allow yourself to do that. You see, that happens. So on board plane, on the way back, the captain announced, we have a slight delay. Thank you for your patience. We have one person on board the plane who has difficulty in breathing. Everybody wonder who, what? You see, our fears are so real that, I mean, it really can be quite bad. So we went up to the hotel down there, and they said, oh, the restaurant closed. The Chinese restaurant closed. Why? I mean, it was a really tough situation. Then the person said, oh, they had two plane loads from people from China turned away. Why? Not everybody came from Wuhan. I mean, this is important. There are 1 billion Chinese people down there. A city like that, and everybody is from Wuhan. Why? See the fears which were there. So if we really want to understand the fear of the Lord, it must be such that the fears of man, fears of life, of death, fears of the things that must be dealt with, that your focus is learning to fear the Lord. That is the first lesson about this fear of the Lord. He delivered me from all my fears. Right? So this is the first thought of the fear of the Lord. Let's go on further to the next thought over here. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Can you see? This time, we have a very specific idea, the angel of the Lord. Now, this is an important thing that you need to understand. That we are truly are served by angels of the Lord. And it is something that we must never be afraid of facing, going on mission trip, having problems, having difficulties, challenges there. What must be in our thought? Well, the Lord delivers from it. The Lord has his angels to look after us, and they surround us. Well, in this case here, the angel of the Lord. And he will do the delivering. And it's very often a reference to the pre-incarnate Christ who is with us. See, this is something that we must, in other words, that is a focus. Here is God. Here is the angel of the Lord. Become more and more focused so until we understand this. Okay? And there we go. This is important. So that's why the challenge and the call is fear the Lord, you his saints. And this is now a challenge and a call to learn how to fear the Lord. That's why the psalmist says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, this is an important and vital lesson. So David now expresses his desire to teach people the fear of the Lord. Once there were fears in his life, the Lord delivered. Two, now, as he focuses on the Lord, he realizes he's not alone. He never was alone. The angel of the Lord is with him, beside him, all the time to deliver him. Now, that becomes an important focus, right? So, fears are delivered. We're delivered from all our fears, right? Then the focus is, look, the Lord's focus, listen, the angels of the Lord, the angel of the Lord is with you. Now, so this was the second thing about the fear of the Lord found in verse 7. Right? So the challenge now in verse 9 is fear the Lord. There is no want to those who fear him. Really? Can we really believe that with all our heart? There is no want. The Lord will look after every single detail of all the things that we have in life, that we need in life. And that is a fantastic development of this fear of the Lord. Right? So, delivered from human fears, the focus now would be the whole concept of the angel of the Lord. Now, the challenge is to actually practice the fear of the Lord. See, there are many, many things like all over the place. We have panic buying. What do you fear? Run out of noodles? To me, sometimes it gets ridiculous. What do you fear? Toilet paper? So sometimes it gets kind of ridiculous. Seriously, this is a flu problem. It is not a diarrhea problem. See, so sometimes those fears are there, and you look at them. You, what do? You cannot but laugh at things. Don't not laugh at people. Just laugh. Learn how to, maybe not too loudly. Yeah, but at least you know you are not affected by these things. That's how we. There is no want. The Lord will look after every detail of our life. Is that possible? And the answer is yes. In more ways than one. Let's think about this. How we can attempt this? Okay, I think it's something that we want to appreciate. Now, we can't get hold of all those non-contact scanners and all that. But then we got contact in Australia. So they're going to send from Australia, they don't have this panic problem. So we're going to get them to carry the things over to us. Well, how many scanners do you want to have anyway? Well, we have more than enough to look at the crowd here. Seriously, I mean, we all learn how the Lord will meet all our needs. If we can only understand this, this is very important. Now, here is where the real crunch of the practice of the fear of God that will take place. Right? And the last part of it, from verse 15 downwards, is where the real challenge is. Right? Who will actually end up practicing the fear of the Lord? You see, the fear of the Lord is not something you learn with reference to knowledge or with reference to reading of the scriptures. Actually, who will practice the fear of the Lord? And David singled out the correct word, the righteous. Watch. And there's a beautiful statement from verse 15. Watch this, right? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Very much like Psalm 33, 18. Then we go on further. Verse 17. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears, and he delivers them out. Right? And then we read verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. At the end of the day, Psalm 34 is going to be understood truly only by those who really seek to practice righteousness. All right, so let's try and learn who the righteous people are. Okay, let's learn. This is very important. Well, the eyes of the Lord, his ears are open to their cry. In other words, the righteous are people who are prayerful. It's an automatic thing. I mean, when there are problems, there are difficulties, challenges, what is the automatic response of the righteous? They pray. Right? Here is a crisis. What's our automatic response? The righteous. Go to the supermarket? No. What is our response? We pray. And we are conscious and confident. The Lord's eyes are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. See, the practice of it all is very, very obvious. Now we go on further. All right, the righteous cry out, the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. You see, what David is doing in his section here is to actually summarize all that he has learned in those difficult moments. What was wrong? Why did he fear the way he did? Well, we understand this. Right? The difficulties are there, obviously. How righteous was he before King Saul? Frankly, not very. Right? What about his attitude towards the Philistines? King Saul said, "You can marry my daughter, provided you kill 100 Philistines." Well, David said, "Why 100? Take 200. So the other extra 100 was really unnecessary. That was not very righteous. So he learned. If you really want to hear the Lord hear, deliver, help you, practice righteousness first. Then you will see the reality of how the Lord will deliver. Okay. Now, but what is righteousness? What is real righteousness? In verse 18, we read, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart." Now, this broken heart is not the same as you lost a loved one kind of broken heart. That is Valentine's Day, a broken heart. This is not. The word "a broken heart" refers to one who is a contrite heart or contrite spirit. In other words, humility. Right? So let's say that you lost a loved one and your heart is broken. Is the Lord near to you? No, that's not what it means. What it really means is that David came to realize that he is out of his depth, he's out of his wits end now. There's no way he can escape. Right? North, south, east, west, they're enemies. Philistines, where he's going to a territory of the enemies to find shelter from another enemy, King Saul. This is what we call out of the frying pan into the fire. Here is an enemy, so I go to my enemy. How does that work? It doesn't. That he learns, let me do this properly. What stops a person from being righteous? Actually, it's the heart, the spirit. When a person is humble, when a person has a broken spirit, a broken heart, and you begin to realize that you are at the wit's end, you are at the end of the road, you got nothing else to fall back on, and in humility, you seek the Lord. That is a practice of the righteous. This is how we practice the fear of the Lord properly. Okay, now we go on further, talking about the righteous. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, being righteous doesn't mean that you are now going to walk along lines. No problem, no difficulty, no stress, no strain. That's not it. That's not how it is. Okay, so here are the afflictions. There will be affliction, but there is the Lord. He will deliver. He will guard all the bones. This is how the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. The righteous will always seek to serve the Lord, no matter what. So this is a description of people who actually practice the fear of the Lord. So we are asking, how do we actually learn how to practice the fear of the Lord? This is how we did, right? So David's desire was very good because he learned what not to do. And he also learned what to do next. They put them all together acrostically, lessons of a lifetime. These are lessons of life. The Lord will hear and answer prayer. But whose prayers? The righteous. The Lord will deliver them from all their troubles. Who? The righteous. What are the righteous people really like? They are humble enough now, broken, to realize, look, I am at my wit's end. I cannot do this on my own. I need God's help. And that's what it is. Will there be afflictions? Yes, whatever they may be. So every day when I went to Myanmar, I was sneezing, same. And I said, Lord, I'm going to need your help, your strength to last the whole day through. Right? So it is in brokenness, it is in contrition that you recognize I need all the help I can get. Well, the Lord will hear, the Lord's eye will be there, he will be watching, he will deliver you from all fears, he will sustain you, he will come back home, and the sneezing continues many other afflictions, which will include what all these things here, right? But the challenge of it all is not to fear or to be overcome by all these things. It's very important. What is the Lord's call to us? Right? Let's learn. Let's learn to focus on the fear of the Lord that we see no one else, nothing else except the Lord. Not human fears, not human worries. It doesn't mean you are not aware of them. There are always these things all the time, but our focus on the Lord is so well defined. You're just not afraid of whatever it takes to just succeed in what you need to do. And that is absolutely important for us to consider. Right? But who will actually practice this successfully? David's word is the righteous. Right? And the righteous is defined here as people who pray, people who are willing to be servants, people who are going to trust the Lord, people who will bring every matter to the Lord, and they will succeed. This is what he was seeking to teach. The question is, how much have we learned? You know, I think sometimes a crisis like that comes up. And it's good for us to ask ourselves, what are we learning? It's good to ask, am I fearful? Will I follow the crowd? Will I be overcome by these fears too? And the answer must be no. Why not? Because we are smart, because we are beyond all these things here, we are not hoi polloi. No. What are we then? We are just simply people who practice righteousness. We look up to the Lord, or hoi polloi, it means the crowd, the multitudes, they call the hoi polloi, just an English phrase. It's from the Greek. Not, it doesn't mean very much. Just to help you come back to it. I hope you understand this. Okay? So let's really, really look at the Lord and say, nope, I'm not going to be part of the multitude. But my focus is just simply the Lord. My faith. So this is how to me, there are certain lessons that I need to learn. See, out there in the world, it's called fear creates either flight or fight. Right? Do I fight or do I fly? I fly away. Consider the third alternative. Fear of God. Faith in God. Rather than either or. And life does not always have to be either or. There could be a third alternative. And that is where our faith in the Lord, our fear in the Lord will take place. Okay? Now, two. As we practice the fear of the Lord, it must be such that you understand the relationship between you and God is so clear, so complete, that you pray, you seek the Lord, you focus your face on the Lord, and you know that the Lord's eyes are watching you, his ears are open to your cries. And you know what? All those things which trouble you just disappear. That is the fear of the Lord. And who will actually end up practicing this? The righteous. That's how we practice righteousness. Rather than to be inundated with a lot of material, every day I read, you know, Straits Times people send to me, MOH directives send to me, ECDA send to me. So many things are all over the place. And you've got to sort all these things out. What do you do with all these? Am I disturbed, perturbed? No. This is why Psalm 46 says, though the earthquake may come, you know, the land, mountains quake and everything else, we will not fear. Why should we fear? That is our focus. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our present help in time of trouble. That is how we practice the fear of the Lord in these times. Right? 2002, it was SARS. Now, 17 years later, thereabouts, okay, 17, 18 years later, we are looking at this coronavirus, actually the same family group, right? Let's not be afraid. Let's learn how to exercise this real fear of the Lord. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we can learn vital lessons from King David, from the time when he was so filled with fears until the time he came and realized that he should learn to fear you instead. Lord, teach us to face our fears until we find that real fear of the Lord. Teach us to walk with you in righteousness, trusting you, focus only on you, seeking to serve you every way possible. And we pray that you will teach us how to always have this living, wonderful relationship with you. We ask you to bless this offering that we now give. We give thanks in Jesus' name.